patriot. I love this country.
Oh, no!
We're talking about the fun he's having on his show.
You enjoy it. You get a kick out of it.
What's the secret? How does he do it?
Helen, are you ready?
Thank you. Go Dodgers. Go Ducks.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be center field.
Every day, Coach Ron Tunick talks about the internet, careers, wine, food, and style, real estate, construction, and financial stuff. It's time for Driving Home with a Coach in the Business of Life on AM 1400 KKZZ. Now, here's the coach, Ron Tunick.
Hi, this is Bill Frank. I'm sitting in for Coach Ron Tunick, who is off doing a speaking engagement today in Las Vegas. I am joined by our regular Monday co-host, Margaret McClain. Margaret, can you believe that they actually pay the coach to go and talk to people in public?
Oh, I do believe it. He's such a motivator. I miss Coach, but this will be a fun show. Hello, everybody.
Margaret, great to have you on board. What a show we have got today. It's going to be a fascinating 2 hours. We're going to fly right through it. We're going to talk on a variety of different subjects today. We'll be talking a little bit about taxes, a little bit about technology, and a little bit about business entrepreneurship as well. So, Margaret, shall we just dig right into it?
I say we do.
All right. Our first guest, Barbara Wellman, has built a reputation as an experienced and a helpful source for small business advice since the publication of her book, J.K. Lasser's Tax Deductions for Small Business, way back in 1995. A tax and business attorney since 1997, she knows what she has the knowledge that entrepreneurs need to stay ahead and to get ahead. Barbara is not just in the game, she's ahead of the game. She graduated from Brooklyn Law College in 1976, and in 1983, she moved into private practice, serving primarily as a small business clients while writing professionally, educational materials, and so forth. After her first book was published, she wanted to serve a more full-time role, helping the entrepreneur business expert get started and teaching people how to start their business and expand their current enterprises. Today, Barbara is a respected corporate speaker, a contributing editor, and author of more than a dozen books and major publications. She's also a sought-after media source. She's the host of her own radio show, Build Your Business, and she's a regular guest on eBay Radio and Small Business Advocate. She also publishes Big Ideas for Small Business, a monthly newsletter written and published since 2002, and she has a nice email tip called Ideas of the Day that she's been writing since 2003. Joining us from back east in the New York area, hi Barbara, how are you today?
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Bill.
Well,
hi, Margaret.
Hello. Welcome to the show. We're lucky to have you on.
Well, thank you.
Barbara, I love having thought leaders such as yourself come on the show, and clearly you're an expert on taxes. So that's where I'd like to start, is sort of the macro level there. There's been a lot of talk, particularly during the presidential campaign season, about the need for tax reform. Herman Cain, when he was in the race, he had his 999 plan, which is kind of catchy. Newt Gingrich is proposing a flat tax, which is really nothing more than a resurrection of Steve Forbes' flat tax proposals in 1996 and in 2000. Now, I know this is a kind of a ticklish subject for you because it threatens your livelihood, but in what ways does simplification of the tax code benefit small businesses and individuals?
Well, there's a lot of debate on it, and there's certainly good things about simplification, and I'm all for making things simpler than they are now. Certainly, there's needless complexity, added cost for individuals and businesses, but the bottom line is that in order to get to the simple level of flat tax or a 999 position, everybody's going to have to give up something, and people just don't like to give up what they get used to, like the home mortgage interest deduction.
Well, and that is a crucial component. Talk to us a little bit about that. The home mortgage interest deduction right now, the way it stands is people can deduct the interest that they pay on their mortgage, but there's some thought afoot in Congress to repeal that in order to raise more revenue for the United States coffers. Why is it that the United States is the only country in the world that subsidizes home ownership with government money?
I don't know. It's just been that way for a long time, and everybody got used to it, and it's the way the system works, that when you figure out can you buy a home, one of the things you determine is your after-tax cost. So you see, well, I'm going to pay this amount monthly, but I get to deduct a portion of it, and that helps me make it affordable.
Well, now, yeah, it is interesting, Margaret. There's no doubt about that. But looking at it, Barbara, you talked about in your earlier answer the really unnecessary complexity. There have been some estimates that say anywhere between $500 billion and $1.5 trillion is spent each year by businesses and individuals complying with the tax laws. That seems to me to be a lot of friction in the economy. If we were to simplify the tax code, how would that impact or bring down those numbers in any significant or meaningful way?
Well, clearly it would. Let's face it. I've been doing this for about 35 years now, and things are a lot more complicated now than when I started. And I think that one of the problems is that many people in Congress probably never prepared their own tax return. So they're not even aware of the complexity. And certainly we saw when Secretary of the Treasury Timothy Geithner tried to prepare his own return and the trouble he got into. So clearly things have to change. However, again, it's a question of who's going to give up what. I mean, right now we're debating the president's budget, which was released today, for example, had a number of suggestions and proposals, and a lot of people aren't going to like it. It would suggest raising taxes on what the president terms as wealthy taxpayers, those singles earning $200,000 and families with household income of $250,000. And I know I'm in the New York metropolitan area, and that's basic civil service wages. That's not wealth here.
No, it's not.
In fact, small business.
Hello, Margaret, are you there? Oh, sounds like we lost Margaret. Well, Barbara, let me just ask you to follow up on that for a moment, if I can, please. If you were queen for a day, what one change would you make to the tax code to immediately improve it?
Well, I will tell you that one of my pet peeves in the tax code has to do with basic rules about timing. I'll give you two examples. One is in the small business area, the fact that you have rules for depreciation, which says, okay, you can buy that equipment, but you can't deduct it all at once. You got to spread out the deduction. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I paid for it. The money's out of my pocket now. So it just makes the rules simple. If you bought something for business, can you deduct it or can't you? Don't make these rules where you got to spread deductions out or carry them back, or just kind of figure out a simple way to handle things that kind of makes sense. Another pet peeve of mine is the different treatment between married people and singles, because married people are penalized in the tax code when two people are both working and have a decent income. So I would just tax people as people, and why penalize married people?
Well, that is known as the marriage penalty, and this certainly is part of the fundamental part of the tax code. My guest is Barbara Weltman. She's author of the J.K. Lasser Small Business Taxes 2012, Your Complete Guide to a Better Bottom Line. And so the tax codes for this year, you talk about depreciation. I know that's one of the new rulings in the U.S. tax codes today, and the tax codes are constantly changing. If you stacked up the U.S. tax codes end on end, it would be taller than a giraffe. There are that many volumes of the tax code. And as I said before, compliance costs are somewhere between $500 billion and $1.75 trillion per year. So knowing all of that, knowing that the tax laws are constantly changing, what are some of the newest tax laws and IRS rules that we should be aware of in 2012?
Well, one of the problems is the fact that more than 50 provisions expired at the end of 2011. And we don't know which of those breaks are going to be extended and for how much. So, for example, a very important tax break for many small businesses is the research credit, which expired, and it's been extended more than a dozen times already. I mean, that's how many times it expired, it's been extended. But from a business perspective, it's really difficult to budget and plan ahead. I mean, just for any household, you make plans going forward, and certainly for businesses, you want to plan ahead, and we don't know what those rules are. We do know some of the rules that are in effect. For example, there are new credits for hiring certain types of veterans, and there continue to be breaks for buying certain kinds of equipment. But again, there are proposals to increase those breaks. So we really don't know what the rules ultimately will be.
Uncertainty is definitely a bugaboo when it comes to small business and any business of any size, really. There's a lot of uncertainty over not only the tax code, but other provisions that will be coming down in 2012 and in 2013. We're joined again on the phone by my co-host, Margaret McLean. So, Margaret, welcome back.
Thank you. Technical difficulties, I guess.
Yeah, technical difficulties happen, and we all face that. But we have been digging into some of the check changes that we should be aware of in 2012. And, of course, Barbara's big pet peeve is that we don't know which of the credits are going to be extended and which ones aren't. But as you look at it, Margaret, I know that you've got some thoughts about taxes that you wanted to ask Barbara as well. Margaret, are you there? Oh, we lost Margaret again, Barbara. Another technical difficulty. It does not seem to be a good day for that. So onward with my guest, Barbara Weltman. We're talking about taxes. So the tax deductions for small business, what are some of the most common tax deductions that most businesses are probably going to be aware of and are probably taking today?
Well, most businesses incur a variety of travel and entertainment expenses. For example, most small business owners use their personal car or truck or van for business purposes as well. The key to claiming any of these deductions is the necessity for good record keeping. And without that, you're not allowed to take certain deductions. So you got to do good record keeping. The good news is there are a growing number of apps to simplify your tax chores and make things a lot easier. And you'll be able to maximize your write-offs with these good records.
Well, I love it that you say that there are apps out there to do it. Here's a shameless plug for later in the show. We'll be talking to Shelley Palmer about App Nation and some of the apps that are out there and available as well. But right now, my guest is Barbara Weltman. So, Barbara, what are maybe some of the most overlooked tax deductions that small businesses might be able to take advantage of but are not?
Well, I'm not sure that small businesses overlook deductions because they understand that, as a general rule, with a broad brush, saying that most expenses are going to be able to be written off one way or the other. But I think many small business owners fail to use qualified retirement plans because they often think that their business is going to be their retirement plan. They're going to run their business, build it up, and sell it, and that's what they're going to use for retirement. But the reality is, and what the lesson of this past bad economy should have taught us, is that that's not necessarily so, especially when you may have a time in mind and the economy may not cooperate with you. So it's really a great idea to use the qualified retirement plan because it helps you shelter your profits because you get to deduct the contributions. You get to defer the earnings until you take withdrawals. And hopefully when you take withdrawals, who knows what the tax rate will be. It could be lower. And so the money will come out at a lower tax rate. That's a great win-win all around.
Well, we can only hope that you're right about the tax rate being lower when it comes time to retire. None of us know what that's going to be, Barbara. But let me ask you a follow-up question on that, if I can. If I do am a small business owner and I do set up a retirement plan, a qualified retirement plan for myself, don't I also have to extend that to my employees once I make it available to myself as the owner of the business?
Yes, you do, and that's a great point. However, there are a variety of plans that can shift most of the cost to your employees if they choose to participate. So, for example, you can use a 401k or a simple SIMPLE plan to do that.
All right. Now, we're back on the line with Margaret. Hi, Margaret. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you. I can hear you just fine now. Welcome back.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
We're talking to our guest, Barbara Weltman. Margaret, you had some questions for Barbara. I know you were very interested in the audits and what's going to be happening in audits in 2011 and 2012.
Yeah. Barbara, what are some things small businesses and individuals can do to reduce the likelihood of an audit after filing the 2011 tax returns?
Well, I love the fact that you said reduce, because there's no way to audit-proof your return, because sometimes you're just subject to some random selection. However, you can minimize your chances of being selected by making sure that you report all the income that's been reported to you correctly. So, for example, if you get a 1099, you have to report the income the same as it's been reported to you. And this year, there's one of the complexities is the fact that there's a new 1099 form for businesses based on their credit, debit, and electronic payment transactions that's issued by the bank or the processor like PayPal, if you had a certain amount of transactions over a certain dollar amount. And it's been very confusing for a lot of business owners this year. But just, again, remember that you want to pick up the income on this on these 1099s, as it's been reported to you, so the IRS computers won't flag you for further questioning.
I see. So I don't get a red flag.
Right.
Now, is this true or not? Are there fewer IRS investigators this year? Are they going to be targeting higher net worth individuals and businesses? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that that is probably true. There are fewer IRS auditors, and this latest statistics, which came out recently, show that the IRS has been going after higher income taxpayers, and let's face it, that's where the money is. So that's where the likelihood of getting the most a bang for the buck, if you will, really lies, and that's where and the IRS has indicated such, and so clearly higher income people, what can you do? You're not going to just take lower income just to avoid an audit. Just make sure that your return is prepared in accordance with the tax rules.
My guest is Barbara Weltman. She's the author of J.K. Lasser's Small Business Taxes 2012, Your Complete Guide to a Better Bottom Line. And Barbara, in addition to taxes, you also track the hiring intentions of small businesses with which you consult. So what are you seeing as some of the hiring trends for 2012 amongst your small business clients?
Well, there's a very, very little uptick, and hopefully that will continue, but somebody described it as a glacial rate, so it's not dramatically impressive. Clearly, a lot of the hiring has been done by larger businesses, even though historically small businesses are responsible for 60 to 80% of all hiring. However, with that said, with the creation of new businesses all the time, many people are either creating their own jobs by starting a business, or they're going to start businesses that will hire, and hopefully, as the economy gets stronger, we'll see that trend increase.
We can only hope that that's true. Our guest has been Barbara Weltman, author of the book J.K. Lasser's Small Business Taxes 2012, Your Complete Guide to a Better Bottom Line. Barbara, you have probably tweaked the interest of some of our listeners out there. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They just have to go to my website, BarbaraWeltman.com.
And spell that for us?
Barbara, usual spelling, Weltman, W-E-L-T-M-A-N.
That's BarbaraWeltman.com. Barbara, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being our guest here on The Business of Life. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Margaret.
Great. Thanks, Barbara.